Hello there, and a very warm welcome to Racing Only Better. Barry, you're standing in for Vanessa Royal, who it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Vanessa, from all of us on Racing Only Better. And Wade in a sweet 16. I don't think she is, but she's not 40 anyway, just quite yet. So happy birthday, Vanessa. I'm in the company of Tony Calvin and Daryl Carter, as ever. Looking forward to plenty of racing over the 2 days. We're going to cover Sandown and Perth on Friday, and then Sandown, Leicester and Haydock on Saturday. 13 races, like I said. Don't forget to check out the safer gambling tools on Betfair. Loss limits, you can set deposit limits, timing checks for gaming. Almost 50% of our customers are already using them, so why not check them out? And don't forget, loads of additional places and offers on the Betfair Sportsbook. Check out your carousel for that. And don't forget to opt in this weekend. Lads, we kick straight into it. The 115, it's the 5 furlong handicap on Friday in Sandown. Mia Harris for Owen Burrows is 4-1 joint favourite, along with sports coach. Scary Ranks for Rafe Beckett is 5-1. Chagrin, Mick Appleby, that's the next Clive Cox. That's been the springer in the market, TC. Almost half them price, was 10-1, is into 11-2. What are you liking?
Very competitive race. Loads of pace on in here. We should say the ground is good at Sandown on the flat course, on the straight course. A little bit easier on the round course. It's hard to say where you want to be drawn at Sandown these days, but there's loads of pace in here. I thought the most likely leader was Hedge Fund from two. Had a recent run, just got swallowed up by a subsequent listed race winner at Bath on heavy ground, has form of good ground. I just thought he was, he's one conventional way of racing. So I thought, I mean, you might get a fair run for your money from the front on Hedge Fund at 11-2, but very, very tricky race.
Right. Okay. There's 10 runners in there. Daryl, what way are you framing this race?
Yeah, the column went out yesterday. I was I just missed the price on the Chagrin. The 10s went, the 8s went, so I had to take the 11-2. I was happy at 11-2 or bigger, just basically on his form last season over 6 when he bolted up at Windsor looking like a proper smart prospect. And he went into listed company at Newbury next time. Just couldn't peg back Action Point, who had the run of the race. I think coming back to 5 furlongs is definitely going to suit him. I'm hoping that he's going to be drawn close. Well, he is drawn close to the rail, but again, like Tony said, Hedge Fund is one of the pace angles there. There's plenty of pace around him. I think you get a good toe into it. And he's a strong finisher, particularly hopefully at this trip. D'Souza's been booked, 21% stroke rate for the yard. I think that could be significant on this seasonal return. And the handicap has been quick to relent, dropping him a nice £4 for his 2 runs at the end of last season, which I think he has excuses for. And I think he could potentially be the best horse in the race. So I'm going to take a chance with Chagrin.
Okay, so the springer in the market for Daryl Chagrin and Hedge Fund for TC. On to the second race, it's the Esher Cup over a mile. It's 3-year-old handicap, very difficult race. Hand of God's been the springer here. TC for Ryan Moore and Harry Charlton has been as big as 11-4, 3-1, is into 13-8 now. I know, obviously, you can read Ryan's thoughts exclusively on betting.betfair, but what sort of inclination did he give you about this, TC?
Yeah, very positive. He actually rode the second to it and when it won its maiden very impressively. And that form of that race has worked out ridiculously well. Everything that's come out has run well. Even the seventh, who was beaten 12 lengths, has come out and won at Lingfield, is now rated 82. So I think the vibes are this horse is on a mark of 88. It's going to run very well, but the market move for that tells you that. I mean, the 13-8 is, you will get bigger than that. But the main story in this race is it's gone from 8s to 7s with a non-runner today. So if you're betting each way, just bear that in mind. But all the vibes seem positive. The stable were in decent form. And he gave it a very, very good mention in, I think it was an ATR stable tour recently. So all the vibes are right for Hand of God. But I think the price has ebbed away from you now. But I can fully see why there's been cash for it.
Yeah, he's very short indeed now, Daryl, isn't he? And it's just a pity, like TC said, Rocking Tree's come out of the race. So it was the dead 8. It's now the 7 for each way punters. It really lessens the attractiveness of this race as a betting proposition, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because I like Blue Lemons at a bigger price. I would have backed him each way here for Richard Hannon. Joe Levy's pretty good value for his £5 claim. I'm learning. But back end of last season at Newmarket on deep ground, he couldn't really quicken in the dip. But once he hit the rising ground, he really stayed on strongly. I think he's been crying out for a stiffer test of stamina. I thought he looked like he'd need the run on seasonal return at Chelmsford. But a little bit better than the bear result there as well. He was snatched up for room, got into a bit of a barging match with Capulet, and then was staying on again at the finish. I'm hoping Joe Levy's going to be pretty positive with him here, because a stiff finish over a mile, I think, will really suit him. Claiming five off a mark of 93. Think he's got narrowly the best form in the race, and that this could just be a good time to catch him.
Right, okay. He looks an interesting. What do you know about that pilot, Joe Levy? You've been following him, have you, recently?
Well, I've just been seeing, watching back his last few runs. He just seems excellent value for his £5 claim. He's very strong at the finish, very quick with his stick. Yeah, and he looks like a jockey going places.
Excellent. Right, good to hear. On to the next race, the third race on Friday's card. It's at 2:25. It's a mile and a quarter. Gordon Richards Stakes is a Group 3. Desert Hero, your favourite here, at 11-4. Joint favourite with Izar, who's wearing first time blinkers. Flying Honours is a 3-1 chance. 130 OGB. That's from 9-2, and it's 12 bar. Darrell, I'll start with you here. Flying Honours at 3-1. I know he's one that caught your attention last year at one stage, did he? Am I
Yeah, he
correct?
did. Yeah, he's a nice horse. 344 days off is a slight concern. The market is speak. I could see him going off favourite. He's been nibbled during the week or when we priced up, but I just want to take him on. I think Israel at the moment has got the best form in this race. I'm sort of in a love-hate relationship with these blinkers going on, because I don't think he does a lot when he hits the front, but he can be a little bit free. They're coming back in trip with him down to 10 furlongs. That won't be no issue. He needs to bounce back from a below par run last time, but overall, he's the form horse in the race, and I kind of wanted to be against Desert Hero as well. He desperately needed the run last year at Newbury when he ran in the London Gold Cup. I think it might be the same again this year. He'll have bigger aspirations down the line. John Gosden's won this for the last couple of years, so I think this has probably been the target for Israel, and 11-4 do me.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough, TC. It's a pity again. This is just the seven runners. I know reading your column during the week, you were very keen on Artistic Star. He was into 8-1 at one stage, out to 14-1 again now. You still sweet on him?
Yeah, well, you have to be. If you fancy it at eights and it drifts to 14s, then you have to. It's exactly the same film. All seven stood their ground. Yeah, I mean, if you want all the headgear stats, just go to my column rather than just regurgitating all the time. But anybody wants any, they can have them here. Yeah, Artistic Star. I mean, I can. The money, I was warming to Okie Chibi. For when he opened up at 9-2, but like you said, it was a steadily cutting price all the way down, and it was a very, very promising return against Dubai Honor. And it's interesting that Ryan Moore, who rode it a couple of times in 2022, has got back on board there. So the market tells you know, that's well fancy. He's got a bit to find, but obviously, given his likely race profile, he could easily kick on. And I can actually see him going off favourite already. But like I say, oh, there's a fag paper between the first four in the market. But yeah, coming back to Artistic Star, one first time out as a 2-year-old, then was very impressive here when beating a fair tool in Torito, first time out over course and distance last season. I fancied him for the Derby on the back of that. He did a lot wrong there, still finished seventh. And then he went and ran a fair race in the King Edward VII Stakes at Royal Ascot. His form tailed off after that, so they've gelded him. And I just think the time to catch him could well be fresh. Bit worried about the form of the Beckett Yard. They've had a couple run well, but as a rule, they've been needing the run. So I was going to leave him alone at eights, but the 14s drift forced my hand. So yeah, Artistic Star has got to be the bet for me.
Okay, Artistic Star for TC and Israr into Gordon Richards for Darrell Carter. On to the 3 o'clock. It's the Bet365 Mile. It's a Group 2. We're all familiar with these horses now, Darrell, aren't we? Sharon is in there at 5-2, same price as Nostrum for Ryan Moore. Lord North, the 8-year-old, is 3-1, 11-2 Poker Face, and 8-1 Bar. It's the seven runners again, unfortunately. But like I said, these are all well, they seem to be pretty well exposed in terms of they're all 110 plus horses, and we have got a fair handle on them by now. What's your fancy on?
Yeah, Alex Sharin at the top of the market. I was quite impressed with the improvement. I thought he improved on that seasonal return at Doncaster to win that listed contest there over Astral Bow, who ran the race last year in impressive fashion. I just think last year he's just a bit weak at the finish, and at Doncaster last time he really hit the line hard, and I like to see that. I think he's taken a step forward 3-4, and I think he could be the one on the upward curve. Be interesting to see what Ryan said to TC about Nostrum, because he's got a good record fresh. But he doesn't seem the most reliable for a punter to back, and he's either going to be brilliant or he's going to let you down, I think. And I just think Sharon is rock solid, really. He won't mind what the ground does. Stiff miles suit him, fitness on his side, lots to like about horses on an upward curve.
Ryan Moore says he hopes that we haven't seen the best of Nostrum just yet. He won on his debut here, and he was also very impressive first time up last season when winning on the July course. He felt he's a very good horse that day, and won well up to this grade, so should run well in this grade. He seems pretty positive about it, TC, didn't he?
Yeah, if you remember, after he went on the July course first time out last year, they were touring, we're going to the Sussex with him. And I think I've never known Sir Michael Stout so effusive after a race, after that July course win, because he's normally quite cagey and quite coy, isn't he?
Yeah.
But they backtracked from going for the Sussex, and probably wisely given what he did since. But I don't think the soft ground was against him last time, and clearly something was amiss when he disappointed at York. They could well be, he doesn't take his racing very well, and you've got to remember when they were tuning him up for the Guineas, he had a setback, so he missed that as well. So he might not be the most straightforward at home. So they probably have him good fresh, and I do know they think he was a Group One stroke Group Two horse. So I haven't got a strong opinion in the race, but I think if any horse is going to take a leap forward, it's going to be Nostrum, and it might be at a course he's won at first time up.
Okay, so Nostrum for TC, not a strong opinion, and Sharon for Daryl. On to the last race we're going to talk about in Sandown on Friday. It's the Classic Trial over 10 furlongs. The Zetland winner, Daryl, Arabian Crown's your favourite at 5-6. He's a 12-1 chance at the moment for the Derby if you're fancying him there. Macduff is second in at 4-1. Portland is 6 from 8. War Rooms is a 6-1 chance, 17-2. Bar TC, we'll start with you again. Ryan Moore, Portland.
Yeah.
This is their first dip into, they're dipping their toe for the first time into one of these trials in the UK. I'm sure they want to get a handle on it, Aidan O'Brien and Ballydoyle.
Yeah, I mean, all throughout the season so far, and at Newmarket last week, they're not really showing their hand, are they? They're just getting a handle on where they stand against the domestic horses. And no, Portland was probably second to a very good filly last time. I think that filly runs in a Group Three at Navan on Saturday, actually. So yeah, I think the Portland run, they didn't want to make the running there. They did it on sufferance. I think you'll see him held up here. They expect the extra trip to suit. But I think this all revolves around the Crown, really. I mean, I don't bet it even money, and I try not to tip or anything under 4-1, really. But I'd rather be a backer than allow even money with Arabian Crown if he's trading around that on the exchange. You go back and have a look at his win at Newmarket last year, and it was just mustard, isn't it? And Gaspar de Limos didn't do the form any good, but that was over a trip too short and held off up the pace at Newmarket, and over too short a trip there, like I said. So I wouldn't beat the Arabian Crown form without, and obviously Dallas Stars come out and won the Ballysacks, was it? So yeah, I think Arabian Crown, if you're into shorties and tipping and backing at short prices, Arabian Crown. If you want one at a bigger price, I thought Under the Sun did a lot wrong last time at Chelmsford, and I thought the 33s with that one was a fair each way price. But we've lost a runner today, so we're down to the dead eight. So keep an eye out for further non-runners. But if you're into the win price, Arabian Crown. If you want an each way price, 33s, it's Under the Sun.
Yeah, Masuria non-runner here, and Purple Lily, the filly that TC was referring to there, Paddy Toomey's filly. She does look a real interesting prospect for the season ahead. Daryl, like TC said, it's the dead eight here. Are you looking towards the top of the market, or are you looking for one at a bigger price?
Well, I was with Portland at nines and eights when he was that price. I thought that was well over the top when we had the nine runners. Obviously, you've got the worrying factor that you could take out another runner in and have the seven and only be playing for two places. But I do think Portland's a good each way bet. He was behind McDuff at Haydock last year, but he got caught in against the rail. Once he got out, just finished under hands and heels behind Al Muschamp. I think that's decent form. I think his form behind Henry Longfellow and the Joseph O'Brien horse. It's Ireland's in the Stream. I think that's very strong form in the context of this race. I think he's crying for this extra distance. Absolutely screaming to go up and trip. He's got a Derby entry. I'd be very, very hopeful he'd enjoy this sort of stamina test. And I think getting back on a better surface will suit him as well. So I think his each way claims at 6-1, still at 6-1, are strong.
Okay, Portland for Daryl and Arabian Crown for TC around evens or maybe a little bit bigger on the exchange. Keep your eye on that. Okay, over to Perth for two races on Friday's ITV's card. The first race we're going to talk about is at 1:30. It's a handicap pearl. It's sponsored by AK Betts, who are making a good fist of it. Anthony Kaminsky, ex of this parish. He's doing very well and he's dipping his toe into sponsorship in the UK. It's great to see. Rascal's your favourite at 4-1, 9-2. Old Gregorian, Dominic's Fault is in there at 11-2, 7-1, McDaman, and 8 bar. I do a strong opinion here, TC. There's 12 runners, and the ground, I think, is soft up there, is it?
Yeah, he's drying out a bit, but there's 2 or 3 mil due on Friday, so it'll probably be soft as advertised at the moment. The sportsbook at top price 7-1 McDaman offering four places. I think that's very, very solid. You've got a lot of time for Nick Alexander on a professional and on a personal level. He's always very receptive if you ask him questions about his horses. I think he's going to be the next NTF president as well, so I can see him doing a good job there. But his horses got very, very sound claims. Now, he used to be 132 rated horse at his peak when Evan Williams had him. Obviously, he fell down the handicap, but Alexander's put a visor on the last two times and he's squeaked about improvements. He did go up £8 for a muscle ball win last time, but he did actually gag in there and he's still £24 lower than the peak mark for a previous handler. So, if you look, it is a very competitive race and you can make a case for every single one of them. But given the back form, given the form since the virus has been applied, giving you the sportsbook a top price and they give you an extra place, I think McDaman each way is a very, very solid bet in that race.
Excellent. Okay, so McDaman for TC. Daryl, have you a strong opinion here?
Yeah, completely agree with TC. This is actually a dropping grade for McDaman. He was in a class 2 last time, gone up £8, down into a class 4. I think he'll be running promptly. Kit Alexander did remarkably well at Musborough. I thought he was holding on to loads crossing the line. And yeah, I'd be hopefully going again.
Excellent. Okay, so McDaman for both TC and Daryl in the opener in Perth. The second race we're going to talk about in Perth is at 2:05. It's just under 3 miles, 7 furlongs. It's another weekend, another national. It's the Highland National for the Julian Llewellyn Palmer Memorial Trophy. Duke of Deception is your favourite at 130. It's 9-2 Breeze of Wind. One in there that's attracted decent support, Conkwell Legend TC for Niall Mulholland. Always like it when I see money for their runners. He's quite a good trainer. They very rarely leave it behind. What way are you looking at this race? It's a decent each-way race in that there's 9 runners at the moment.
Yeah, Mulholland's had a couple of decent winners recently, one at 25s, and they were having a slow patch. So that will give you confidence to be back, Neil Mulholland. And Oliver Greenhill, Josh Guerrero, they had a four-timer at Ludlow yesterday. So obviously they're in decent form if you fancy the favourite Duke of Deception. But the one I like in here is Brettney. Now, he's got a lot of negatives about him. He jumped appallingly at Cheltenham last time. He's due to go down a pound in the handicap. And Henry Daly Yard, even though they had one just touched off yesterday, have generally been running like a drain, his horses. So there are a lot of negatives about this horse, but, you know, that was Cheltenham last time and he's run badly there before. So I'll forgive him that. Not borrowed about a pound over these staying distances. And I'll forgive stable form if I think I'm getting over the odds, which I am with Brettney. Now, the angle with him is he's just a guaranteed stayer. All his best form before Cheltenham last time came in small fields. He gets that here. And when he gets on the front end, his jumping seems to be a lot better. If you witness his all the way win at Sandown in February, like I said, that was a small field. He got to the front, got jumping, and he just stays very well. He's won over an extended 3 mile 5 before. He's got no problems on that score. So yeah, I mean, he's probably he was the well he is the bet of the day for me on the ITV races, Brittany. I think 10 to 1. He's pretty much the general price now. He was a couple of points bigger with a couple of firms of bets been taken. So yeah, Brittany, given that the jumping and given that the negatives, I'll probably play win only, Brittany.
Okay, win only Brittany for TC. Daryl, have you a what's your like? What do you like in it?
I got no strong opinion in this, really, Barry. I do like Conquhill Legend. He's a horse that I've got a lot of time for. He's been knocking at the door, and he bumped into a progressive type at Exeter last time and given loads to do from well off the pace. I can see him. He was well supported that day. I can see him being well supported again. You mentioned that he's been clipped in the market. Marker 1-2-2, he's not beyond him. He's still relatively unexposed over his staying distance. Problem is that he's very careful over his fences. He fell at Exeter back in February, and he's just very careful. They tend to try and take their time with him, and a lot of time he can either be left behind or he can be there too late. So if you want an interest, Conquhill Legend, but it would be win only.
Right, okay, fair enough. I did have an S on you there. You told me you didn't want to talk about that race. You had nothing in it, and I threw at
Can
the
talk
end
about every race.
of you. Apologies. Listen, let's kick on to Saturday. That's Friday done and dusted. Let's look at Saturday. The first race on ITV on Saturday is at 1:50. It's that novice championship final handicap. It's always impossible. It's the max field of 20 runners. I think the ground's good, TC. Is it on the National Home Course at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm a bit ill at ease with what they've done here. Basically, they're not giving out. They've been watering ever since April the 8th in 10 mil cycles every 48 hours. So that's 5 mil every day. So they've been putting on at least 5 mil every day for the last, yeah, it'll be 18 days. But they've started watering daily, but they're not giving out amounts. And they just said, basically, they're not going to let it get any faster than good. Now, the inference is, to me, they're going to make sure it's on the easy side of good rather than the faster side of good, which is if you've got a good ground or a fast ground horse, it's not ideal, but we are where we are. So that's the situation with the ground there.
Right, okay. It's 13-2 to field at the moment. Fiercely Proud 13-2 from 9. Panjari for Betfair Ambassador Paul Nichols. Read his thoughts exclusively on betting.betfair. That's a 7-1 chance. Steel Alley 15-2. Secret Squirrel 17-2. 9. Court in the Act for Harry Derham. That's been a good springer in the market, Daryl. Almost or ha over half them price was 20 in the anti-post market at one stage. 9-1 chance now.
Yeah, I can't work out why, really, to be honest. But it is what it is. I mean, you could make a case for a good handful in here. Like, this is a really competitive race. I'm going to stick with a horse that I've been thinking that's been well handicapped all season and is now going into a handicap, which is Secret Squirrel for Hughie Morrison. I like this horse. I like the way he won at Taunton last time. He crossed the line with loads in hand. Firefly got the better of him at Taunton back in February, but I didn't think David Bass made enough use of him. It was a race that turned into to a sprint from 3 out to the finish. They really crossed the line in a powerful finish. Both of them came zipping down that home straight. It was a really good race to watch, to be honest, even though I was on the losing end of it. But I think there's more to come from it. He's worth every inch of his mark of 126. He was behind Jericho de Repenay at Newbury the time before that, and probably ground too deep for him. I just hope Bassey can really just open him up and just let him go, because I think he's a smart horse, and I definitely think he's better than the mark 126. But I'm acknowledging that this is a very competitive race, of course.
Yeah, so Secret Squirrel for Daryl TC. Nichols has a second favorite here, Panjari. Some team of horses going to Sandown on Saturday. I think obviously it was the plan all along. The title's out of his reach. He's been quite clear about that. But I think for him now, it's all about finishing in front of Dan Skelton. That's how competitive he is.
One thing he's never going to do is give up, is it? So yeah,
Yeah.
he'll probably want to make a statement and be the UK's, well, the England's top dog, wouldn't he? But yeah, he's certainly got a lot of chances. We'll come to. Who'd have thought Hitman would have been a 5-2 chance for a grade two after the way he won at Cheltenham? But he's got every chance. We'll come on to that in a minute. Very, very keen on one in here, and it's Masai Mara. I'm not the only one that's keen on it because you mentioned the spring in the market. He's the second spring in the market. The opening 20s was clipped into 18s. The 18s been clipped into 14s. But with the sportsbook playing five places, I still think he's a very attractive price at 14, which is the general price. There's a bit of a rogue's 20s knocking about, but 14s is basically the general price with four 12s and 10s of the place. Basically, he was a very good horse on the flat for John Gosden. He finished fourth in a fast ground Epsom handicap on Derby Day. So I'd have liked them not to have been watering for this one as well. But he was bought for 170 grand after that, and he went to John O'Shea. And I'd imagine 170 grand going to John O'Shea is one of his most expensive purchases. And he hasn't really let him down so far in what he's done. He beat a horse called Golden Maverick very impressively. And that one's gone on to win twice since. In fact, Golden Maverick is one of four horses got balloted out of this race. So just make sure if you did get balloted out and any of your horses get your money back. And he went on to finish second to an odds-on shot of Nichols's last time. Obviously, that allowed him to get handicapped for this. The handicapper did put him up £7 for that, but it was a good run at Hereford. And I'm just thinking everything's in place for him here. I think given that he was an 87 horse in the flat, I think a mark, easily revised mark of 119 makes that very, very workable. He's got first time cheap pieces on. I can't really see why. And the trainer's one from 28 from 2017. So that's not betting juicing from that angle, but I have to assume he's know what he's doing. And I just really like his profile. Like I said, if it's good ground off that mark, given that the way his winning form's worked out, the Nichols horse could well be a lot better than he's been able to show so far when winning last time. So yeah, I really like Massamara. They were talking about going to the Boodles with this horse, but they didn't get a qualifying run into him in time. So maybe they took a waiting strategy and come here for this valuable pot. Yeah, Massamara at 14s. I wouldn't lay him at 10s.
Okay, Masai Mara for TC and Secret Squirrel for Daryl. On to the next race we're going to talk about in Sandown, the second race of four. It's a 225. It's the Oaksey Chase for the Menora Challenge Trophy. Menora, what a great to remember that old horse. It's a grade two. Hitman is your favorite, TC. I'll start with you here. He's 9-4. He had been as big as 6-1. He's putting blinkers on him for the first time in his career. He doesn't have a penalty, and he was given the excuse of the ground being too deep at Cheltenham. The real whacker, I suppose. He's 9-4 joint favorite, actually, the real whack with the real whacker. And he's been very disappointing this season. It just hasn't happened for him, has it? After winning the Brown Advisory last year, easy game in there at 9-2. He's sure to have his supporters. 5-1 Galore from 14 in the anti-post market. Again, just a 7 go to post here, TC.
Yeah, it's cut up massively this race. You had everyone's favourite tracker horse after Cheltenham Jungle Boogie. That was the anti-post favourite. That's come out, and it's cut up to an incredibly winnable race for an 80 grand pot. If you fancy Hitman after that poor run at Cheltenham, Nichols is 12 from 79 in recent years with first time blinkers. What a race this is. You've got that as favourite. You've got three horses that pulled up last time. Easy Game, Galore, the real whacker. Like I said, Hitman's coming off a poor form. Straw Fan Jack has got no chance. 135 rated. Well, you say that, but he probably has got a chance in this race. The way, like I say, it's the way it's been sliced up. The way, I looked here originally this morning, or just early afternoon, late morning. Al Dancer was 10s with the sports book. Fantastic Lady were 25s. And by the time I finished my sentence in my own head saying, Jesus, they're big prices, they were cut accordingly to 15-2 and 16-1. But I still think they're the bets in the race because Al Dancer come back off a really good run in the old Racing Post last time. He's a very, very solid horse. I just think he's going to run his race, and that might be good enough against a lot of disappointing horses. And I thought Fantastic Lady third to Uick in this race last year. I think she's been running on ground too soft for her all season. So in the circumstances, I think she ran well in the Topham last time. I'm not going to put one up. I'll put two up. I thought El Dancer at 15-2 and Fantastic Lady at 16s were the bet in the race if you wanted it. Now, all the other horses could come back to form and outclass them, but I think it's a fair old ask if you're asking to be taking those short prices about basically out of form horses.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. So got that Isle Dancer and Fantastic Lady for TC. Daryl, do you like anything in it?
Yeah, Jesus, we are thinking along the same lines when we look at this race, that's for sure. I suppose the one saving grace you could have if you fancy Hitman is that when he put first time cheek piece on him, it produced a career best in the Ryanair behind Envoy Allen. So maybe those blinkers would just reignite that spark in him. But yeah, I'm with TC. I was going through all the negatives and these horses like Easy Games got a terrible record coming over to Britain. I mean, Garlaw, I don't think he's been beaten less than 20 lengths when he's ran over close to 3 miles. I landed on Fantastic Lady. I just thought she was too big a price. I thought her third beaten 7 lengths behind Hewick in this race last year, in which was a much, much stronger race when she was 13-2. Suggest she might be a little bit of value. I again was along the same lines as TC as the ground being the angle to back her with. Think she wants a better ground. Thought Nico could have made a bit more use of her last year. Look, Fantastic Lady. But as TC said, if any of these want to bounce back to form, if the real whacker gets out on his own and is allowed to dominate, he could be hard to catch. Hitman reignited by the blinkers, but I don't want to be taking 9-4 back that pair.
Okay, fair enough. So Fantastic Lady, you both landed on that. And Al Dancer also in the race for TC. On to the big clash at 3 o'clock. It's the Celebration Chase, the Bet365 Celebration Chase. Grade one, El Fabiola, who pulled up after that mistake in Cheltenham at 9-2 on, is 4-6 again. John Bond dropping back to 2 miles after winning an entry over 2.5 is 9-4. Edward Stone, a previous Betfair Tyndall Creek winner at the track, is 13-2. Nuba Negra 25, Boot Hill, Editor de Sheet, and Elixir de Nuts, all Seagulls, 33-1. TC, any strong opinion here? What way are you looking at this? Obviously, it looks a dead match on paper, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've been prepped to have this matchup twice already this season. We're hopefully going to get it third time lucky. As I've said, probably in the previous two potential matchups, I probably prefer 9-4 John Bon over 4-6 El Fabiolo, but probably the least attractive betting race on the card, given that we've only got seven in this as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing playing here for me.
Okay, fair enough. Daryl, you sticking with John Bond? I know you're big of Al Fabiola fan as well. Did Paul Townend accept it very quickly in Cheltenham when he made that mistake?
Do you know what? I thought he stopped very quickly. I thought when he set off, I thought he was a little bit reluctant to go. And then I thought after he jumped a couple of fences, I thought he was just a little bit struggling to go the gallop. And then when he made that mistake, it was about two strides and he basically stopped to a standstill. There must have been something very much amiss with him that day. Very much amiss with him. That would concern me. I never thought, being in the El Fabiolo camp for the last couple of years, I'd never thought I would ever say that I think John Bond might beat him. But under these circumstances, coming off the back of that run, I mean, if you want to put a line for it, it's easy enough to put a line for it. Obviously, it wasn't his true running, but for me, there just didn't look something right with him. And that would concern me backing him next time out for a horse with a profile like El Fabiolo, where he's finished either first or second in Britain or Ireland in his entire career, to now come off the back of a pulled up effort would just concern me. John Bond's good round here. He is good round Sandown. He wants top of the ground. He's coming off the back of a decent performance at Aintree. If John Bond is going to beat El Fabiolo, I do think it'll be here. And I think 9-4 and 4-6 after their last two runs, I think they're too far apart. We all know El Fabiolo is the best horse in the race on a going day. We know he's, got the bigger engine. That's slightly concerning for me when I'm having a bet because I like to think I'm backing the best horse in the race. But here, that run at Cheltenham just concerns me about Fabiolo. So I certainly wouldn't be taking 4-6. I think John Bond is the only bet you could have in this race.
Yeah, John Bond, also a Betfair Tyndall Creek winner at this track. So the next race we're going to talk about is the last race on ITV, the last race from Sandown on ITV. It's a 3:35, 5 places each way punters. It's over 3.5 miles, an extended 3.5 miles. It's the Bet365 Gold Cup. Katie's Light, who ran such a cracker in the Grand National. I know you can say that about several horses, but really did show up well for such a long way. Back for more here for Christian Williams and Jack Tudor is your steady away 4-1 favorite, 13-2, 3 under True Five, who's done nothing wrong all year. Milos is a 7-1 chance, same price as Willie Mullins, Manila Cocooner, Nick Rocket in there as well at 7-1 also. Am I right? Speaking of Big Springer at TC for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead is 8-1, haven't been as big as 20 and 25 in a place I saw during the week.
They probably like the better ground. Whether they'd like the water, I think the water would be fine for that. But my Antipope Fancy Annual Invictus could have certainly done without all the watering, because Tynebournemouth had him running on fast ground twice. One was a near career best on Good to Firm a couple of years ago at Cheltenham, and another one was a win on what they called firm ground. At Newbury last year, when on that trials day when it was actually lightning quick, so he would have loved to have a Mr. Frisch type conditions, but he ain't going to get them. So he's put me off him a bit, but it shouldn't be that bad. I mean, like I said, they've got 3 mil tonight at Sandown. I'm hoping they're not watering, because they've got this 5 or 6 mil from the early hours on Saturday morning there. So I don't know what's going to go on. I'll probably look at this race from a betting angle on Saturday morning. But as it stands, and the Invictus, I'm happy enough with that. I want them to see him riding more positively than when he finished sixth in this race last year. All his best form is from the front. So I'm still hopeful if the ground is not that bad for the Invictus. But I'm looking at the race again, after the Dex. I'm going to have a bet. I'm going to have two more bets. I'm going to back Certainly Red, who finished seventh in the race last year with the first time cheap pieces on. He's a bit of a quirky character. He normally just runs on too late, so maybe the headgear will perk him up. But I just can't get away from the old boy of the party. I nearly put him up at 33s along with Anglian Invictus on Monday, and that's Sam Brown. Now, he's giving five years to a couple of these, and he's giving at least 2 years to the rest of them. But at the age of 12, he's probably in the form of his life, an Aintree win and a Charlie Hall third in 2022 aside. He's just, since the visors have gone on this season, he just absolutely just taken off again. He stormed home to when splitting two improvers in Cruise Control and Forward Plan at Aintree last time. He's officially the best handicapped horse in here by some distance. He's 4 pound well in. All I can think of, I think he's 20s plus across the board. I imagine he'll be a big price on the exchange win only, but it's only his age that's weighing him down in the betting. He's got a far, far better form chance than all of these. If you look at official ratings. So yeah, Sam Brown for me, if you get 20-1 bigger, I suspect you'll get maybe in the 30s when only on the exchange. Sam Brown for me, and I've always had him pegged as a soft ground horse, so he won't mind the watering, but his two last runs have come on decent ground. So yeah, at the current prices, in the current conditions, Sam Brown.
Okay, Sam Brown, with an honorable mention to Certainly Red and obviously the annual Invictus that DC put up during the week. Daryl, what do you like in it?
Yeah, just give mention to two. Sam Brown was the first of those. The soft ground thing, I spoke to Anthony Honeyball about this about 18 months ago about him on soft ground. It was the fact that he had issues with his knees as a youngster, and they just wanted to keep him away from quicker ground. So it was just as it transpired. I don't think he needs soft ground, but I think he's crying out for a stiff test of stamina like this. I think it'll really, really suit him. As Tony said, he's technically well in. He's in career best figures last time at Aintree, splitting Cruise Control and Forward Plan. He's a horse that if he can jump and he can keep with ease, I think he'll relish this move up in distance. I do. I think there's another big day in him. Yeah, Freddie Ginger gets on well with him, got on well with him the last twice, eases that burden of 11 stone 12 with his 5 pound claim. I'm surprised he's as big as he is, honestly. I see he was 50s earlier. I couldn't believe that. I thought that was madness. The other one is the I don't know if this horse would obviously get in the first reserve, which is Flash to Tuzan for Liz Doyle. Just quickly, because he might not run, but he's 66-1. He should not be 66-1 on his third to Kitty's Light in the Scottish National at Ayr last year. Well, that was the only time he's encountered a better surface. That was also the second time that they applied the tongue-tied cheekpiece combination. This again is the second time that they've applied that after catching the eye in the Kimura. He was hung right out of the back in the Kimura, but he sluiced through runners like a well-handicapped horse. And then I'm not sure what happened. He folded up a little bit, but I'm hoping getting back on a decent surface just might see him go well. He's relatively unexposed, particularly in the headgear and particularly over staying trips as well. If you watched that Scottish National run back last year, the way he finished off his race, you would have to say he's well handicapped off a mark of 130. And he's got best part of 3 1/4 lengths to find with a favourite in the race, and he's the rank outside of the field. So if he gets in, I will definitely be having a bet on Flash de Tuzon and Sam Brown as well.
Yeah, Flash de Tuzon runs in the colours of Justin Carty, who I think Mr. Incredible also ran his colours last week in the Scottish National. So hopefully, if he does get in, that's the first part of the bet he's got to get up. He definitely won't go off a 66-1 chance, that's for sure, if he does get into the race. So best of luck to Connections there. Okay, that's Sandown done and dusted. The 245 in Haydock is the next race we're going to look at. It's a trustedtrader.com handicap. This is one place they're not watering TC, and there's no Kirkland anymore. He retired couple of meetings back, so we've a new clerk up there, officially heavy at the moment. There's 10 runners in this race. Earls is your favorite at 130, 11-2 Guador, Sparks Fly also 11-2. A whole host of horses in here that we know and seem pretty well exposed handicappers at this stage of their careers.
Yeah, I asked the owners, because Look Back Smiling's in both of the ITV races at Haydock and Leicester. Normally straight away on the BHA site, they give an inclination what's the first preference, but they haven't done as yet. So I asked the owners, and they say they're leaning towards Leicester at the moment. So 10-1 Look Back Smiling, and that'll be a 5p rule four. But I asked somebody else as well about that, because it's soft heavy in places at, or a combination the other way, at Leicester and Haydock. The reason why they've entered it in, I gather, and this is not from the same source, is even though the ground isn't that bad and the forecast isn't that bad, apparently there's someone's been told, another owner's been told, that there's a 25% chance Leicester and Haydock might not go ahead. So, well, I don't know what forecasts are looking at. I don't know if the ground's worse than currently given, but just bear that in mind. Especially at Leicester, the going stick reading of 3.1 suggests it is not heavy in places. But anyway, with Haydock, I'm worried about the ground for Rainbow Fire. He won the race last year. He's had a couple of spin-ups on the all-weather. I'd be very interested in him if the ground's not that bad, but that worries me. So again, I'll take a watching brief on the ground. But Rainbow Fire, the Botty Yard has been in really poor form, but the last five or six runners have all gone well. It suggests they're coming to the boil. So Rainbow Fire, if the ground's not that bad, but reports suggest possibly otherwise.
Yeah, pointing.
It's not Kirkland's fault this time, everybody.
Yeah, they can't pay per Kirkland now anymore. Yeah, poignant winner last week for the Marco Botty Yard. Last Saturday on Stephen Searcy's funeral day. Darrell, what are you liking?
Yeah, I like Tacoury Bay. I think this is his optimal conditions, really. He's 2-3 at Haydock. The other time he ran here, he was beaten by a horse that ended up being rated 121 triple time. He's won under identical conditions last July. 7 furlong record reads really well. He caught the eye at Wolverhampton, sticking onto the task well over a mile last time. This is just absolute... his bread and butter, 7 furlongs, soft ground, off the same mark as he won last year. I think he'd go really well. I think 9-1's very generous, particularly as I had 3 on the shortlist, Rainbow Fire, who I was worried about the ground for, and Boardman, who I like to back second time out, who has been behind Tacoury Bay a couple of times. 9-1 is very fair about Tacoury Bay off a mark. We know he can win off under ideal conditions at a course that he loves. So, yeah, Tacoury Bay.
Tacoury Bay for Darrell. Okay, on to the sixth and final race we're going to talk about on Saturday's card. It's the 205 at Leicester. It's the King Richard III Cup. It's a handicap. We've 9 runners here. Like TC said, the ground kind of around a soft mark. Al Moob here for William Haggis and Kieran Fallon, 11-4 favourite. 9-2 Radeberg, the horse that finished third in the Irish Lincolnshire. Thunder Roar is 5-6 Big Bear Hug. Look Back Smiling, that TC just mentioned, is a 6-1 chance as well. Tony, I'll start with you here. Any strong opinion in this, or is it once again?
Bearing in mind, I think it's going to be very, very tested. Like you said, the going stick reading of 3.1 suggests it's snorkel heavy kind of weather. I thought Thunder Roar each way at fives was very interesting. Just his record on soft or heavy is 2-1-3, 1-1-2. He's up at £3 for a second to look back smiling last time, but so he's in form. I just thought conditions will play to his favour. Alma Pierre won this race last year, but he had a spin before that. And it might be in the conditions, it might be a big ask trying to win that. And you can make a case for a few, like Radebeul's obviously got his ground as well here. But yeah, I thought Thunderall was solid, given the profile and given the aptitude for the ground. Thunderall each way at fives.
Thunderroar each way for TC. Daryl, the sixth and final race on Saturday, what do you like?
Yeah, Thunder Roar for me, getting 17 and 18 pounds off the top two in the market. I thought it was a brilliant run at Doncaster last time. He was drawn out of it in stall one, came over to sit behind the pack, then closer to the stands rail. The pack that side decided to drop into his lap. He had to switch left and he stayed on strongly at the finish to be carried right by the winner. Up £3 is no trouble at all. Love soft ground. Really good opportunity. Respect the two at the top of the market. You know, they've been in listed company, but given this sort of weight away in this ground to a horse that is progressive on the upgrade, race fit, these will be very difficult. I think Thunder Roar is a good bet.
Excellent. Okay, so both of you on 5-1 chance. Thunder Roar, it has been a few quid for me. It was a 6-1 chance when we first went off of the race. That's great, guys. That was a really fast spin through, what, 13 races. So all that remains is for me to get your naps. So TC, what are you napping?
Masai Mara, 150, Sandown, Saturday.
Masai Mara, the end of drought.
Yay!
Carol, what do you like?
Thunder Roar in the 205 at Leicester.
You're going for Thunder Roar, the 205 at Leicester. Brilliant stuff, guys, as ever. Thank you very much for that. Don't forget, check out all the offers on the Betfair Sportsbook, a whole host of additional places. Check out the carousel or your carousel, and don't forget to opt in for them. And don't forget to check out our safer gambling tools. There's a whole host of tools. You can set deposit and loss limits, timing checks for gaming, all that sort of stuff. Nearly 50% of our customers are already using them, so why not check them out if you aren't already? Vanessa, you'll be glad to hear we'll be back on Monday with Wade in. Until then, thank you very much. Please gamble responsibly and have a great weekend.